This episode of Humble and Fred is being broadcast to the world from our state-of-the-art Humble and Fred studios in Puerto Aventuras, Mexico. From our well-equipped Dominican Republic facility with Muskoka chairs on a sandy ocean beachfront. And from the abandoned Humble and Fred headquarters in Toronto. And is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. And now, here are two men who wonder if there is alien life somewhere in the universe. Are there as many idiots out there as that we have here on Earth? It's Humble and Fred.
Yeah, it was pretty good there, Dan. What I can with a few hours sleep, you know?
No, I get it, man. You know what I was thinking? You know how you just read back how you began that, because I have a little idea how we can insert this other thing that we talked about yesterday. So you go live
this episode of Humble and Fred.
Yeah. It's live from Puerto Aventuras and the Humble and Fred headquarters.
Our well-equipped studio, Puerto Aventuras, Mexico.
And maybe before you get to the sponsors, you could say, and is broadcast live to a live on a digital format, or is broadcast live from the Humble and Fred Zoom studios, or Humble and Fred Zoom theater. I like that. Yeah, it was Zoom theater. I forgot that was yesterday. Like, we need to find a way to put that in there either before the sponsors or because you don't want to have two Humble and Freds back to back. But we'll figure it out.
Okay, as we set up for a sponsorship opportunity right there.
Exactly.
Right? From the, insert your name here, Zoom Theater. Yeah.
Insert your name here, Zoom Theater. I'm Dan Duran, and now, like something like that. Do you say your name in there at all?
No, I don't. I say it at the end. That's a good point.
You say it at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Because I think, let's talk about this after, but I think there's an opportunity for you to, as a transition, to go something from the Humble and Fred Zoom theaters. I'm Dan Duran, and now here are two men. That'll be a nice little, okay.
Okay. Beautiful. Howie, let me ask you this. Seeing that we're talking about Zoom, and you're a young Jewish fellow, are you familiar with this song? Zoom golly golly golly, zoom golly golly, zoom golly golly golly, zoom golly golly. Hey shalus lo man evoda, evoda la man e shalus. Zoom golly golly golly, zoom golly golly. Did you sing that around the dinner table?
I didn't, but I am familiar with that song. How are you familiar with that song, Jew lover?
Me and Doug, we reminisce. We've been friends since we were 5 years old, and something just went off in my brain the other day, and I started singing that. We remembered it was a young Jewish fellow at the camp when we were kids that used to sing that song. His name was Ray Klinger from Buffalo. This is how I can remember. We can remember things from our childhood, but not remember yesterday. Anyway, and he used to sing that song, and I never forgot it. And then I know it's a Jewish song, and I know you're Jewish.
Mm.
I know
you. So you put two. Music. Hey, you put I Jew. Put, and, did you put Jew, Jew and Jew together? Did you put Jew and Jew together? I'll say it again.
Jew together.
Here it is. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the. Here we go. A little repetitive.
Zoom, golly, 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 zoom. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom.
Yeah, I'm aware of that song. That was not sung around the Glassman table in the city of Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. And I'm not even sure if we should do it now, Fred, you know, given the situation in the Middle East and how Jew hatred is rampant.
No.
You know, we're probably going to have pro-Palestinians protest this segment of the program.
Yes, how dare you play that song, because it sounds a bit festive.
What does Zoom Golly Golly mean?
I have no idea.
Well, you're Jewish. You should know this kind of thing, shouldn't you? This is like,
yeah, I guess
Zoom pop culture.
Yeah, but I don't think it's, like, there's no law that says I should know it, you know. That logic, by the way, when people say that, well, you're this, you should know that. I mean, that's a weak argument. Because it's just the fact that I know nothing. seriously.
You're the son of a minister. What does it say on page 63 of the Bible? Tell us now.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
What's your favorite chapter, Dad?
Yes. No, but I listen, you're right. I mean, if I were Israeli, I think that's more of an Israeli song. Again, I know we're not supposed to mention Israel in any context that they're occupiers and horrible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not going to be from the Zoom Golly Golly Theater. It's just the Zoom Theater, right?
No, it would not be from the Zoom's. Although I'd like to say, so you put Jew and Jew together again. Come on. Come on.
Hey. Would the Bible be available like in an audio version? Like,
yeah, of course.
I guess, eh?
All the versions of the Bible too are available in that format.
What poor bastard had to do that? Can you imagine? Like, I know it must pay well.
Yeah, that'd be a good gig.
Read the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Wow.
By the way, we're just before Christ. I forget, because I know I will. Today on our email segment, Dan, I've got great news for you and I. Speaking of things we should and should not remember.
Okay.
Somebody emailed the program, and I think, I'm pretty sure that the thing that the guy said on the beach to us, said it to me, I told it to you, you remembered it, then we both forgot it. I think... I'm like 92% sure somebody's come up with what the guy said.
Oh,
that's a circle back. And just while we're on circle backs, again, you still really haven't told the story about him being attacked.
Yeah,
there was a Jewish spin to that too. But I got the impression when you first told it, you didn't really want to explain it, but you said enough that. I've got so much reaction from people saying, what is Howard's story?
I think my reticence was just the energy it was going to take to tell the story. And also, of course, in light of all the negativity around the Jewish people. But this particular story that happened to Dan and I isn't so much an anti-Israeli story, because these guys were not Israeli. This was more of just one of those weird... I think it's happened to everybody. Where somebody from a religion kind of accosts you. You know, we've all either had something left at our door, or we've been someplace where people are standing on a corner and they start to, I think the word is proselytize. Right, Dan? Where they try and, you know, tell you about their religion, whether you walk by the Scientology Center on Young and somebody's standing out there, and, you know, that kind of thing.
It's also evangelism.
Well, that's what it is. It's something that Jewish people, I didn't think many Jews, we're not really known for that. You know, we're not trying to get people into our group. You know. So that's why I was kind of like, I don't know if I have the energy for it, but you want to hear this story?
Well, you know me, yes, but if you don't feel like telling it, that's fine. Maybe you can write it down and put it on our Facebook page. I don't know.
Well, I just want to do it as quickly as I can. But it was pretty interesting. Right. So Dan and I are walking up this street in Mexico on Playa del Carmen. It's a famous street called Fifth Avenue. It's like, imagine if you were in Vegas, but they transported all that sort of gaudiness to Mexico. And it's just street after street of people, vendors and, you know, performers and shops and people basically trying to get you into their restaurants or into their shops. That's the street where the woman told me how embarrassed I should be about the Tigers. Dan and I saw the Tigers, did we not, Dan?
Yes, we saw the Tigers. We did. That was, yeah. They were laying around a shop, and that was fun. The whole experience was very surreal because it's so busy in this place, and we just got tired, and we sat down.
Right. I said to Dan, after we walked probably 5 or 6 or 7 blocks, I don't know, whatever it was, and it's like overwhelming. There's so many people. It's like being on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, just teams of human beings. So we sit down, like the two old men that we are, and... A couple minutes later, these two young men, probably in their 20s, maybe late 20s, early 30s. It's hard to tell. They're Hasidic Jews. You've all seen them. They wear the hats. They got the sideburns and the beards. Mm-hmm. And they're wearing the black coats. Yeah. And they've got a prayer shawl underneath their shirt that I can see. You know, I know what it is. I've seen it before. And they walk up to me, not Dan, but they walk right up to me and they say, and they've got a, I'm going to say it's an Israeli style accent, but they go, are you Jewish?
All right.
And I say, what? They go, are you Jew? Are you Jew? And there's two of them, and Dan and I are sitting down. And so
they didn't ask me that.
They didn't
later.
Ask Dan that till later. But they but come
just as a courtesy, I think.
That's right. They didn't want Dan to feel left out. And I just jumping forward in the story, I'm like, no, he's no Jew. You don't want to know what he is. So these two young dudes, but in a very aggressive manner. And what follows is about 5 minutes of them talking to me about this particular thing. And this is why it's going to be tough to explain. There's a device that very observant Jews use. It's like a little box, and inside is a scroll from the Torah. And what they do is they have this box, and it's got straps tied to it, affixed to it. And what they do is they tie the straps around their arm, and then they put the box on the back of their hand. I think, again, I've only heard of this. It wasn't part of my life growing up, but I just, you know, I know enough about the religion. So what's
a little bit like a square top hat?
Okay, so imagine, okay. It's like a little box. It's attached to a strap. So they come up to me and they go, "Are you a Jew?" I said, "Yeah, but what does that have to do with anything?" "Well, we want you to put the tefillin on." They wanted me to put it on and pray with them, is what I understood from this.
Oh,
but all right. And so at first, Dan and I are sort of amused, just as you would be if anybody comes up to you and starts talking to you. But they're being very aggressive. Right. And I kept saying, well, why do you want me to do this? What's the point of this? Like, I'm like you. I'm cynical. I'm trying to figure out what's the end game of this? And they keep saying, but don't you, we want you to pray with us. We want you to pray. We want you to do this with us. And I'm like, okay, but I said, first of all, no. I kept saying no. And then they turn to Dan. After I keep saying no, they go, "Are you a Jew?" And then, so we dispel that myth. And then they go back to me, and I'm sitting there. Dan and I are both sitting there, and Dan and I are both quite a bit bigger than them. And the guy, so the one guy next to me, who's pretty close to me, he starts to get mad that I won't stand up and pray with him. So he starts saying, "Come on, motherfucker. Motherfucker, come on, motherfucker, come on."
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What?
"Come on, motherfucker," he says. "Come on. You should fucking pray. Come on, motherfucker." And he doesn't speak very much English. But to the other guy, I said, "Tell this fucking guy to step back from me." Because he's getting really close. I said, "You just tell him enough's enough." Yeah. And he's going, "Come on, motherfucker, come on." And then I just say the following. I say, "You don't want me to stand up. Now get the fuck away from us."
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm from Moose Jaw. That's the type of Jew. That's the type of Jew I am. But it was just getting to the point where, Dan, it was getting a bit uncomfortable when the guy was calling me a motherfucker because I wouldn't put the funny box on and pray with him on the streets of Mexico.
Again, this was pretty surreal because this is one of those cyclical arguments, because it just kept, the same thing kept coming around again, the same thing that he kept saying over and over again. It didn't make any sense to me. And to your point, Howard, the end game, what was he trying to, just a prayer? This is a lot for just a prayer.
It seemed a lot. It seemed like a lot of, I don't know what it was. Maybe they were, it could have been a bunch of things. They could be pickpockets. I don't know. There was no ask for money, but they wanted us to get, wanted me, the Moose Jew, to get up and pray with them. So I made it very clear, my last thing I said, "You don't want me to get up." Mm-hmm. And then the guy who could speak English kind of caught that. The guy that was calling me a motherfucker, I don't think he understood it. So they finally leave. So Dan and I, go ahead.
Wow. No, I'm just saying it's just weird because to turn ugly that quick when actually, you know, they seem to be religious people and you don't sort of make that connection. You know what I mean? It's like, how could it go south so quick?
Well, the whole thing was surreal. You know, by the way, this was at, what do you say, Dan? 6:30 at night, still light out, maybe 6:45. Like, it wasn't like late at night. Yeah.
Right.
There were women walking by in bathing suits and, you know, bums exposed. Oh, and there were, you know, street performers. All this stuff was happening behind them walking by. Women in flamenco dresses and guys in
and dressed up as native. And to answer Fred's question, how did it get this escalated so quickly? I don't know. You know what I'm like. You know what kind of reaction people have sometimes?
No, but that to me is immaterial, because the thing is, regardless of your reaction, when people approach you,
yes, I know,
you know, under the guise of religion, you would never expect that to turn into fuck.
The guy saying, "Motherfucker, come on, motherfucker, yeah, come motherfucker, on, motherfucker,
motherfucker."
So these guys leave. They finally get the idea, and Dan and I get up, and we continue to head the way we were heading. So we're going in the opposite direction. And then we get to a point, and I say, okay, Dan, you know, let's turn around now, because we're going to head back the other way, the way we came, so that we can go have dinner. And then about two blocks later, these two guys see us again. And the guy that could speak English starts saying, hey, are you Jew? And then before, he doesn't even recognize us. And I went, no. No, I just say no. And then he recognizes us, and then they give us the big wide berth. It was pretty funny, though. It's just so funny, eh, Dan, that they didn't remember us like 4 minutes later.
What, were they blind while they were getting angry at you? It made no sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know the Jews and their bad eyesight.
Yeah, right.
Wouldn't you love to know the story?
I know.
Behind those guys. You know, whether it is, you know, like pickpockets or up to no good, or just like fanatical whack jobs that, with no patience, obviously. Jesus Christ.
Well, they had
Almighty.
Enough. I mean, I'm describing it as quick as I could. It probably happened over the course of a few minutes, but it escalated to that guy getting angry at me pretty quick. I mean, I don't know whether he was a little bit off, but just as I began this essay, Jewish people generally aren't about going around the way that Christians are, missionary, doing mission work around the world to get more people into the club. That's kind of not our vibe, or hasn't been, or at least I didn't think it was. But these guys were definitely all about getting me involved in some kind of prayer thing there on the streets of Playa del Carmen.
Right. I have a story similar, but it has a very lovely ending. In fact, it's warm and fuzzy, actually. And neighbor John was telling me this earlier this week. You know, he taps the trees around his house for maple syrup, and his house is way up a hill all by itself north of Caledon, or just east of Caledon, whatever. And he said he's out there at the trees the other day, and all of a sudden this woman, he sees her just at the top of the hill, and she starts walking towards him. And he's thinking, what does she want? Does her car break down? Or like he couldn't figure it out. Anyway, she walks up to him, and she was a Jehovah's Witness. And so she started her, you know, spiel, and he goes, no. He said, you know, I'm not interested. He said, but like, what brought you up here? And she said, well, I saw on the map or something there was a house up here, so I thought I would come up. And he goes, well, you know, you sort of wasted your time. I do not want to talk about that. And she said, what are you doing? He said, oh, he said, I'm tapping the trees for maple syrup. That I'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent like the next 10 minutes explaining to her all the stuff about how you do that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a sweet story. But that's John for you.
Did she say at any point, come on, motherfucker.
No.
Give me some maple syrup, motherfucker. Oh yeah.
No, that's all there is to that story.
Well, that's very sweet.
No, it is. That's him.
But circling back to the circle back. This is a double circle back, because we circled back to the story from earlier in the week, and we're circling back to your point, and Dan and I, it came up a couple times. I talked about it with my older, smarter brother, David, who's been to Israel, who knows more about everything than I do. And he also couldn't figure it out. Like, there was no, like, they're doing this, so I'll do something. It seemed, and I didn't want to get involved in kind of praying there on the streets. And I don't even know the prayers, but it would just be... And again, I just thought of it now, Dan. Maybe they were pickpockets. Maybe that's the deal. They distract you, and then they try and take some shit from you.
Yeah.
Well, Howard, in the most positive, wonderful situation, you would never start praying.
No.
Would you?
Like,
would
no.
there be anything? Say it was two real juicy Jew women that come up and wanted you to do that. You would never pray.
Well,
two juicy Jew women with thongs.
Juicy
with thongs on. Two juicy Jew women with the thongs on,
yeah,
and their butt cheeks hanging.
Oh, well, then I would.
Would you
yes.
pray with them?
If they said, hey, motherfucker, you want to lick our feet? If two juicy Jew women came up with thongs and said, "Hey, motherfucker, want to pray?"
Yes.
I'd say yes. Yes, I would.
Motherfucker.
Putting Jew and Jew together right
you
there.
You know what we witnessed, by the way, Dan? You and I witnessed Jew on Jew crime. Anyway, we're going to get to the emails. And so I'm not sure. What I'll do, Dan, is I'll read the email. And then when you come back, and don't go yet, but when you come back, I'll confirm with you if that was what the guy said. Because I'm pretty sure once I saw it, that the guy that the quintessential Canadian response, or the thing that made me think he was Canadian. But there are other stories, Dan. We were talking about this. Fred did some research. Prior to the program, Fred, when we sometimes will brief each other about stories we want to do, and Fred was adamant in our pre-show meeting, Dan, that we discuss this Kate Middleton story, which, by the way, I was aware of, Fred, but I wasn't aware of the layers to the story.
Well, I'm the same way. Whenever it's a royal story, I don't really care. And it was like Kate Middleton apparently went in the, or she disappeared. People hadn't seen her for a while. Then there was talk that she was in the hospital to have abdominal surgery or something. And her and William had not been seen together. And then from there, it goes to this rumor that he has this mistress. Her name's Rose Hanbury or something. And and it's that apparently Kate tolerates this relationship because she doesn't want to go to the, she doesn't have the sexual adventurism, so to speak, that William does. And I'm thinking, well, what's that all about? And then I'm reading, this is in Rolling Stone magazine, fellows. Apparently, Prince William, heir to the throne, loves to be pegged. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Dan, do you know?
Not really, no.
Dan.
How do you not anything to do with fist banging?
No, it's in the fist banging category, but I'm curious, how does a guy, a man of the world, such as yourself, have not come across the term pegging? It's of the zeitgeist. It's of the pornographic zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm gonna learn something new right now. So pegging is
what do you think it is?
Going up the butt, then, I'm guessing?
It's up the butt.
Yes.
The sordid world, you know, the royals. I mean, for years, there's been talk of, you know, scandals going on in and around the family. And this is just the latest one. Yeah, and apparently Kate can handle him. So, again, she's okayed this extramarital relationship. And this woman, Rose Harberry, will not hesitate to throw on a strap-on and anally, I don't even want to say abused because he wants it, but anally have sex, anal sex with William, Dan. So Wow. You put on a strap-on, you know, which, you know, strap-ons have big, long dildos. Are you aware of that, Dan?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Fred, I'm sorry, just a point of order. They don't all have to be big, long ones. There can be some different sizes.
Some little stubby ones.
Little stubby ones.
But anyway, yeah, just check that out.
So wow.
I'm reading and, go ahead.
I'm looking online here and already, because I just Googled Prince William pegging, mm-hmm. and there's already Prince William pegging memes that have been created. Oh, and apparently, by the way, Fred, it's been around for some time, this rumor.
Well, this is why I wanted to talk about it. This rumor has been around, and then the more I read about pegging, how it's moving towards the mainstream of sexual activity for young people. There was a time where it was like, oh my god, that's like gross, that's like, that's not natural. And apparently now, you know, it's moved to the mainstream where a lot of men now like the sensation, and women are sort of into it, sort of the dominant type thing, and they're more than happy to throw on a strap on and do their male partners. And
well, circling back to something you said earlier in the week, I mean, you have been pegged, sort of.
Oh, yeah, I pegged myself.
You pegged yourself with that suppository.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan.
But then, yeah, go ahead.
Dan, why don't you take a pen or something and just peg yourself. See if you like. I'm sorry, Fred, go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking, it was weird. You'd think it would be, you know, Kate that would have the abdominal. No, you would think it would be William that would have the abdominal problems, not Kate. But anyway, the story, as you say, there's memes now, and then I'm reading that Pornhub last week, the searches for pegging went up like 500% or something. So just these little stories about the royal family and how stuff spreads like wildfire, and then all these searches on what is it, what is pegging, guys like Dan didn't know, and again with Pornhub, and so this has just gone like wildfire, this whole story. And again, it's gone from, oh, what's happening to Peg, what's happening to Kate, is she, you know, is she under the weather, or is there something wrong with her, to this story, in Rolling Stone. And again, not that Rolling Stone is the greatest publication as far as truth and news goes, but it's better than a lot of things, is it not? Like, it's right there.
I did a little research here.
Yes, Dan.
What you're talking about is kind of like there's rumors going back to 2022.
That's right.
I don't pay any attention to the royals. They so mean so little to me, and I try not to. It just leaks. But in the last week, I think what's got this interest up a little bit was she retouched a photo coming out of the whatever.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And then there was speculation of why she wasn't wearing a wedding ring, which really amped up the royal.
The circling back to some pegging.
Yeah.
But Dan, that I don't know. I was going to bring that up with Fred, but I didn't want to wreck the narrative, which is the Rolling Stone article, because I did the same research you just did and I Googled it. That Rolling Stone article is August of 2022. Well, the one that I'm looking at, it says a royal rumor might be inspiring straight men to get pegged.
Yes. Well, the one I'm reading is current, but a reference to that.
Okay. So I just because we don't want
an update on it.
Exactly.
This one is like, yeah.
Because the three journalists here, we don't want to make. We want to make sure that all our references are correct.
Yes. This one is, yes, like this rumor has been out. And, oh, look at this. We've talked about this a couple of years ago, and now it's come to the forefront again.
But what Dan said is one of the reasons I didn't bring this story up, because I was aware of it. I read about Kate Middleton and something with a photograph for Mother's Day, because Mother's Day in the UK was last weekend. I knew about this, and I heard about the photograph, but it was sort of like, I don't really care. I'm not 100% sure which one she is. Okay, I know it. Oh, then I looked at the picture. I'm like, okay, her. And then I had to look up which one's Prince William. Okay, he's that guy. Because I've just sort of fallen, not that we were ever that interested, but I haven't really been paying much attention to your point, Dan. Mm-hmm. But now that Fred's brought pegging into the conversation, the whole thing just became way more interesting.
And who this Rose Harbury is.
Yeah. I mean, and
she's a goer.
And listen, I can't believe that the three of us didn't know, because this is one of our favorite Steely Dan songs. I have a great Steely Dan story for you in a second. I seen your picture. So do you guys know that Steely Dan has been on tour with the Eagles? As part of the Eagles' final world tour of all time. So won't you smile? Is that an awareness you two have?
No.
How can they tour? There's no band members are missing now.
No, Walter.
Due to death.
Well, no, but Walter Becker has been dead for a few years, and Donald Fagen and the Steely Dan band have been continuing to tour.
Yeah, but one of the band members just died recently.
Yeah, one of the famous, very, very good player. But again, you know, the Steely Dan band, you couldn't, other than Larry Carlton and a few guys that were on some of those famous records, most Steely Dan fans, you know, just want to hear Donald Fagen sing these songs. So apparently last night in Toronto, and I want to make sure I get this right, because Tom Cochran tweeted this morning. Tom Cochran, where did I put this? Tom, who's a friend of the show, and a buddy of ours. He, Steely Dan had to cancel last night. They were playing, I want to say, were they playing the Scotiabank, I think they were playing, I'm sure it was the Scotiabank.
Yeah, it was.
So Tom tweeted this morning that because Steely Dan had to cancel, Tom Cochran opened for the Eagles last night.
Wow.
And I just want to, first of all, it was pretty cool that he did. He says, what did he say here? If I can find it. It said, an honor to be opening for the Eagles tonight at Scotiabank Center. Last minute, as Steely Dan had to pull out. And it would be interesting to ask them. I'm probably going to see him this summer. We play occasionally still. I mean, you're as famous as a guy as Tom Cochran is. Sold millions of records. You know, pretty successful artist. Would that still be kind of a cool thing to open for the Eagles? I mean, or... You know what I mean? Like, would he be too big for that? I don't know.
That's the first thing I thought of when you said that. I thought, wow, Steely Dan opening for somebody? But, obviously, was Steely Dan ever to the level of the Eagles?
Not even close. Not even close.
Well, this is, so then it starts to make a little bit of, then it starts to make a little bit of sense then, right?
I mean, I think I heard that Steely Dan was going on tour with the Eagles because, you know, They do their own touring, but as a opening act for the Eagles, Steely Dan obviously, you know, exposed to a lot of different people, and it's probably a good deal. But Tom Cochran getting the last minute call, I wonder what that's like. It's like, hey, you want to come down to Scotiabank and play some of your songs?
Did he play by himself, or was it the band? Or
I'm pretty sure the band probably played with him. He's playing the Scotiabank Center, so it wouldn't be like an acoustic set.
And how much of a, and how, like, how much time did he have?
Well, he says last minute, but I mean, if you're used to playing arenas, it can't be that big a deal to go and play like a half an hour set.
Yes. Yeah, I guess. But, and again, why him? Or was he first on the list? Or did a few other people say no first? It would be nice to know all that. Give him a call, Howard.
It would be nice to know. And maybe part of it is those guys, the management of Steely, or of the management of the Eagles, or the promoter, or somebody would know that Tom's in town. Because you've got to be, it's got to be a big enough act.
Mm-hmm.
And an act of the era, right?
Yes.
Because Steely Band was popular at the same time the Eagles were popular. So maybe that's part of it, too.
No, that's a very good point. All right, well, I just thought I'd pass that on, a little Canadiana.
Well, that's a neat story. It is, actually. And, you know, not too many people, well, again, if you're going to see the Eagles, but that's a pretty good bill, man. It would be for me. Steely Dan and the Eagles, I mean, you'd be somewhat disappointed, but Tom Cochran would fill that hole pretty well, I'd say.
I can't think of another Canadian artist that would be of the level of Tom that would be in the city of Toronto at that time. And again, Dan's point's a good one, of an era, or whoever said it, of being popular around the same time.
Maybe the ladies, but I don't know. When you think of the Bare Naked Ladies, I just, you know what I mean, since the departure of Steve, and the reason I'm saying that, I throw that out there, but they just don't seem to be part of the Canadian music world anymore for whatever reason. So I'm just thinking of a Toronto band that maybe that could come in last second.
Well, they'd certainly be big enough.
Yeah, I guess.
And, you know, even after Steven left, I mean, they're still touring at a pretty heavy rate. And as far as, like, they're on the back nine of their career, for sure. Much like ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you want another Canadian music story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is all tying in. A couple years ago, Neil Young protested Joe Rogan and his anti-vax nonsense. If you know the story, Fred, why don't you present this one?
Well, you know, Neil Young a few years ago. Geez, how many years ago now?
It's 2 years.
Time flies.
I think it's a couple of years, yeah.
Anyway, he got up and he got upset with Joe. What was it about Joe Rogan that he had a problem with?
He was promoting anti-vax.
That's it.
Yeah, it was an anti-vax stance.
That's right, and Neil Young thought it was very dangerous, so he said, Rogan leaves Spotify or I leave, and apparently it was an easy choice for Spotify, so Neil Young left Spotify. But now, and I was surprised by this because of Joe Rogan's deal with Spotify, I thought it was exclusive, but now, soon, he's going to be available on Apple and Amazon. Let's go. So Neil Young's backed into a corner. Well, if, you know, if I'm anti-Joe Rogan and I won't go where he is, then my music's not going to be streamed anywhere. So he has sort of sucked it up and said, listen, I have to be on these streaming vehicles. So not only will he stay on Apple and Amazon, he will go back onto Spotify.
Yeah, I'm looking at the story here.
It's just an Azure.
What's that, pal?
Yeah. No, I was looking at these stories yesterday, and you know the way they attach, like, X or Twitter stuff and
yes.
Facebook stuff. He was just getting crushed by all the slack-jawed goobers in the States for being a hypocrite and, you know, not having any balls and all that shit.
What Neil Young was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love all those people that can be critical who couldn't write this song, you know, in their fucking wildest dreams. So exactly was. Back in 2022, it was protesting Rogan's COVID-19 related content, which both Rogan and Spotify have publicly apologized for. But all that aside, Neil Young's being pragmatic because Joe Rogan isn't going away. And as you said, you know, part of it was, of the impetus was that he wants his songs heard somewhere.
Didn't he sell his catalog? Is he one of the people that
Neil
sold
Young?
The catalog? Yeah.
I think he might be right. I don't know, but that sounds it sounds just like he did. Sounds like somebody, one of those guys. I know Springsteen sold it.
And I remember. Now I recollect all this stuff. Springsteen recently sold his, and on Stern, I heard Billy Joel say that he would consider selling his, but it would have to be at least $1 billion. And, you know, that's not that far-fetched, actually.
No.
But Joe Rogan, he apologized because, you know, he has that great Spotify deal, but he still spreads a lot of that shit. You know what I mean? Subtly. You know, he's still a bit of a whack job. He's still gone after that audience that eats that shit up. So, you know, he ain't completely clean either. The other day I saw online, I saw he had Kid Rock on his show talking about Bud Light and all that. And it was, I thought, wow, that's a lot of moron in one room.
Kid Rock and Joe Rogan. It's almost too much.
I mean, really.
It's too much moron.
It's almost too much, right?
It's too much moron.
The safety officials need to be checked on.
Exactly. We've exceeded our moron limit in this space. Please, we need to excise one of you idiots. You know, I think, I don't know where that Bud Light reference came up recently. I can't remember, Kimmel or something. But I remember thinking at the time, because it was quite recent, how I thought at the time of the Bud Light, of all the things that I can think of in our lives of being media guys and being aware of the world, that might go down as one of the stupidest things. That when you think of all this stuff, like one little meme, one little picture, I should say, of a trans person holding a can of Bud Light did all that damage. Like, that really is something.
Yeah. The clip I saw, Rogan says, so what's it feel like to be the guy that brought down Bud Light? Like, that's some kind of fucking achievement. And, you know, through this, there's a lot of shining stars or good people through this as well. Like Garth Brooks. Have you heard the story?
Yes.
A bunch of bars throughout the United States. And he said, fuck you. If you don't want to drink Bud Light in my bar over this, then don't come to my bar.
Yeah.
And again, this is Garth Brooks. He's got lots of money. But still, if you have a string of restaurants, that's, you know, that's quite the stance to take, because it's easier just to say nothing, right? But no, he stood right out and said that.
Do you know what, Fred? That might be where I heard it. That might be where I saw, because I think I saw that Garth Brooks story. Or we talk about it. Whatever it was, you want to talk about exceeding your moron limit. Think about all those people. Think about that attitude. Yo, you really brought down Bud Light. Why would you want to bring down Bud Light? Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, over nothing. Literally, you know, you know who benefited from this? Kid Rock. In the moron community, he's seen as a hero over this. But a hero of nothing.
But this Kid Rock owns a bar in Nashville, and he never stopped serving Bud Light in that bar, oddly.
Yeah, I know. I think I heard that story, too, which doesn't surprise me. This was the same interview, fellas, where Joe Rogan declares that, well, first it was Kid Rock, because Kid Rock had problems getting into Canada or something because of his passport or anything. So he said, basically, Canada has turned into a piece of shit. Justin Trudeau's just a fucking piece of shit. And then, seriously. And then Joe Rogan, you know, he pipes in, I don't mind Canada. I don't go there anymore. Yeah, because that Trudeau's a fucking piece of shit. And I'm thinking, again, this is too much for me. Like, he's fucking, like, and these are both these guys. And he may not blatantly admit it, Rogan, but Kid Rock has. These guys are Trumpers. And they're calling Justin Trudeau a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm not big on Trudeau, but my God, when it comes to shit,
and who is shit? Shit and pieces of shit? No, it's remarkable. Like, anyway. It really is. Yeah. Maybe that should be our, that could be another, if we were the kind of people that started hashtags, the hashtag should be too much moron. Too much moron. Too much moron for this room. All right, Dan Duran, when you come back, we will have, hopefully, corroboration over the how did I know this guy was Canadian just by his response. Just to refresh, we met somebody. The first thing we said, I said, hey, how's your day? And he responded with something, and I went, oh, what part of Canada are you from? And I think somebody listening has solved the mystery, Dan.
Yeah, because we forgot what that was. So we thought it was...
We forgot within 30 seconds.
Yeah. We saw something shiny and forgot all about it.
That's right. You know, I did notice that about when you're hanging with Dan, you really can be distracted by, you know, really the smallest thing. I'm like, oh, I find myself wandering off with Dan now.
Watch out for the iguana.
All right, Dan Duran will come back. Dan's news. Also, Toronto Mike will join us and just chat it up as he often does on Thursdays. We'll get to your emails and some more nonsense in a second. But first, this important word from the Fred Man.
Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits for small business. Small business, when we say that, it's like 1-2 employees, up to 100, I guess. You know, if your small business is in the position now to look at a benefits package for your people, well, then go to chamberplan.ca, get a free quote. There's dental, and there's prescriptions, of course, and therapies, and a travel component to it. All sorts of therapies, a mental health division now that you can tap into in almost in real time. And they've done a great job of holding the line of premiums. Brett Tanner was on the show the other day explaining that. They've popped up a bit over the past year, but nowhere near other plans that are out there, because they are a nonprofit. And, you know, they look after their subscribers very well. The Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business, chamberplan.ca.
You know, the other day we had this story about how Trump cheats at golf. And, you know, I've said this to you before. We've talked about how, you know, when you golf with somebody, you can really tell a lot about them. And in the space of a few hours, you really get to know and see what they're like under pressure and how they treat people and how they act and how you can trust them. And I say this by way of introducing my friend Mike Kazarian, one of the broker owners of Lender's Choice Mortgages, member of Mortgage Alliance, license 13582. I say this because I've not only played golf with Mike once or twice, I played golf a lot with Mike over the 13 years I've known him. And you want to talk about a guy with integrity, he's hardworking, he's honest. And if you, I would just say this, I know, do you understand the analogy I'm making here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I'm not sure it's getting too murky, but I'll just say this. If you spend any time with Mike, you'll know that he's a guy with integrity. And when it comes to handling your mortgage, when he says he's going to look out for you, he's not bullshitting you. This is a guy that's not going to screw around. They've got access to all these lenders and all that's great and all the experience. But I'm telling you, as a guy that knows Mike, if you choose to have a conversation with him, what he says is what he's going to do. And you can trust him to at least make sure, at the very least, make sure that your needs are met. It's not just about getting you as a client. It's about making sure that if you have to renegotiate your mortgage, that you just don't take the first offer that comes along from your bank, that you let Mike and his team research this for you. Like I said, I was thinking about that the other day when we were talking about what a cheater Trump is. And I can tell you, you know, I've witnessed Mike over many rounds of golf where integrity is in question. There is no question. That guy's got tons of it. Find out for yourself. He is going to save you money. Very simply, go have a conversation with him at Lender's Choice Mortgages, lenderschoice.ca. I just checked the Facebook feed, and somebody who was very kind. Apparently, it's Stephen Novak. One of our friends and followers is watching us on Facebook this morning. Apparently, Tom was in BC on tour. Tom Cochran.
Oh.
On Tuesday night. And this is what Tom said last night on stage at Scotiabank. He said he was on tour and he got a call and took the red eye back to Toronto and performed last night. I would like to, Stephen, if you could tell us some more, like, did he play with the full band and how long did he play? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a neat story. So if he took the red eye, would that be the whole band? And what about equipment and all that? Yeah.
Well, there
all
you
the
go.
Logistics of that.
So we have the kind of audience that when we have a conversation, they respond. It's one of the great things, one of the great joys of doing this job, Frederick.
Yes. Very joyous, Howard. Very joyous.
Yeah. Are you ready to do all the emails?
Yes. Let's get her done.
There's quite a few today, and we're going to have to summarize. We can't go into detail with everybody, but I'll save the Canadian guy thing for the last. In the meantime, here we go. Let's get started.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Subject matter, bald eagles in Toronto. This is from Gord. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
I completely agree with you about the general concerns on climate change and impacts on animal migration patterns. However, the bald eagle sighting in Toronto you mentioned on Wednesday is actually a good news story. The eagles in Toronto appearance is linked to improved natural conditions in Toronto, where they have invested in restoration of natural areas throughout the city. So the world may be on fire, but there are some local improvements. Stay strong, Gordy. I mean, that was my fault. I said that. I leaped to that conclusion. I guess I didn't read the story, well enough. It was actually a good news story, but I'm thinking bald eagles, like, all of a sudden in Toronto. What does that mean now? Like,
mm-hmm.
Because we're staying warm or whatever. I was wrong. Unlike Fox News, I will admit I was wrong.
I mean, you weren't wrong that the warming climate is affecting everything. So you would have assumed maybe that it would affect the bald eagle. What you're doing is you've learned something and you're now correcting your initial story, which is something they don't do there.
Right on. Yes.
So on the same week that you had a bald eagle story, I had a Eagles band story.
Yes.
See?
Imagine that.
Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
By the way, Gordy,
sorry. No body information.
Bowel movements.
All right.
No body
information. We can just assume he has bowel movements. All right, here we go. Jennifer Kelly, one of our longtime listeners and contributors. And this subject line, Howard, take note. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
I'm just back from a conference in San Diego, says Jennifer, so I'm behind. Man, I love California, she says, never tire of it. That place is heavenly. Anyway, just catching up and finished Dan Does Mexico today, that episode. Howard, please watch the following Instagram post and pay very close attention. Smiley face, smiley face. Having a Scottish background and married to an Irishman, that's Jennifer, not me, whose name is... I said it wrong. I said Siren. It's Kieran, whose name is Kieran. Pronunciation, or as we say in Spanish, pronunciacion, matters to her. Enjoy the retirement lifestyle, gentlemen. Jennifer Kelly, thanks so much. And Jennifer, here's the thing. I know the actor's name is Kieran Murphy. I watched Peaky Blinders. I've seen the guy in all the Christopher Nolan movies. Mm-hmm. I just misspoke. And as soon as I said it, Jennifer, I knew it was wrong. And again, like unlike Fox News, I am willing to admit at the time I mispronounced the guy's name. But it was one of those things, Freddie and Jennifer and everyone else. As soon as I said it, I was like, oh, that's not right. It's not Siren. It's Killian.
Yeah.
By the way, it's so her husband's name is Kieran. Killian Murphy is the guy whose name I screwed up.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Fred, can we put these horrible incidents behind us?
Yes, we can.
Hi, guys.
We can.
Hi, guys.
Okay, this no subject from Ed Lovkin. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Howard, it's a series of questions.
Yes, let's do it. Let's take them in order.
Along the way. Okay, listeners, since the CFNY days, I have a bit of a potpourri of questions today. Number one, I either missed it or you guys haven't provided an update on Noel Casler. Well, we have, sort of. Noel was scheduled to be on the show, a couple of months ago. And
yeah, in January he was going
to
come
decided
back.
Decided not to. Yeah, and then decided not to, or he couldn't, or whatever, and... the invitation is out there. He just hasn't accepted. What else can we say, you know? Okay. Number two, Fred, can you please publish Delisa's recipes for bark and granola so we can all enjoy? I've actually done that on a few occasions, but I'll talk to my sweet little woman, and maybe I'll do that again. I'll get the recipe so you don't have to search them out.
Hey, hang on a second. Let me just interject. Is she not going home today?
Yes, she is.
Aw. How do you feel about that, buddy?
I'm sort of sad, to be honest.
Aww.
Yeah, I am. You know, when we first... put this trip together, it was for 2 months, and
yeah,
she was all in, and then decided that, you know, before we left, that she wasn't sure she'd be able to stay for 2 months, so maybe while we were here she might change her mind and book a flight home earlier, which she has done, and she's going home today with her cousin Laverne. She's sort of excited about that. So the final 3 weeks, it's just going to be me and my buddy Doug here in the condo. Just the two of us. And which I was saying the other day, it's funny, anybody new to the condo development that arrives after today, they'll refer to us as the two old queers in the end unit, probably.
I think they're already doing that.
You abandoned me. What's with those two old guys together? In the end unit? What's going on with that?
Anyway. I have a little sad music for you. Yeah. Well, I think you're going to have a great time. Although, as you've mentioned in referencing Delisa's departure, that this will be the longest, longest separation of the Patterson Union since forever. You've never been 3 weeks apart.
No, and it's actually 3 weeks and a couple of days. But anyway, we've discussed this and we thought it might be good for us by the time. You know, this is over. We'll so miss each other that may give us a gust of love wind.
That's
for the
right.
Rest of our lives.
You'll get back there and you say, "Okay, Dolly, peg away." That's right. I miss you so much. I'm going to let you peg me. All right. So,
well,
Ed,
Freddy, I'm not going to do that.
That's right.
Why couldn't Doug do that?
Fred.
Anyway.
So now I'm getting a phone call from the water damage guy. What did Dan do while I was in the absence? Listen, there's another question the guy has. He has a couple more questions.
Yeah, humble listeners are curious about Julieta. Any updates?
Yeah, she's good. I haven't, you know, it's like any, you know, I think the reason that I think most people can, either they haven't thought of it or they can read between the lines, but it's kind of, you know, it's run its course. You know, she's very busy.
It's cooled a bit.
It's good, definitely. It's definitely, it used to be caliente, now it's muy frío. I haven't seen her in a couple weeks.
Yeah. No.
So
another indication, not everyone's into Peggy.
That's right. So. I couldn't find the Spanish word for pegging. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's all I'd say, Ed, and everyone else. I haven't really seen her much. I don't know that I will before I go, but we'll probably. I was supposed to see her a week ago, and that got canceled. So I haven't really been in touch with her, although the weird thing is she lives really close to where I'm staying right now. And finally, he asked about a former guy that was on our show years ago.
Yeah, whatever happened to L.A. Chris is the question. And I was, when I saw this question, I was thinking, we did have a reunion with L.A. Chris, didn't we, at one point? I can't remember when that was, but that's years ago. Was it part of the podcast, or was it, remember he hadn't been on the show for years, and then he came back on? I
think it was, you know what, Freddie?
What or how, but.
When you mentioned, I think it was part of the podcast, but I couldn't peg it. We again, he was a big part of the Ed show. One of the great characters that we came across and became part of our group of just, you know, our version of the Whack Pack. I know only Stern had people call in and be, you know, crazy. But we had a group of people over the course of our careers that just became sort of, you know, characters. And he was a big one.
And remember, the radio station, CFMA, the Edge, flew him up to Toronto, for a weekend. And he made an appearance, and there was people lined up to see him.
It was crazy. Yeah, him and his sidekick, Santos, who worked at the 7-Eleven. All right, Ed, we've got to move on, though. That was a lot of Ed Lovkin, and we certainly appreciate it.
Anyway, he says, love you guys. Heart rate 73. Bowel movements reliable.
Excellent.
Hi, guys. Hi, guys.
All right.
Hi, guys.
Moving on now. And this is from our friend Rich Tunes. He goes, of course, Rich being another character on our program and a contributor. He says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
In case you don't already know, Suno, S-U-N-O, is a free AI song creator that creates tunes in any style imaginable. Rich has been our chief correspondent in the world of AI content creation in terms of cartooning and animation and things like this. He says, I typed in a few lyrics about onions, of all things, into this AI creator known as Suno, and it gave me this song in 10 seconds. Tell me, fellas, it couldn't be played on the radio. Enjoy my masterpiece. And here it is, Onions by Rich Tunes. This is there's three of them. So this is the first one. Okay, this is the first one. Have a listen.
Onions don't just make me cry. So many tears I wanna die. When I cut them for my stew. Tell me what should I do? Onions got those pills, but they tear me all the feels.
So the lyrics are, onions make me cry, so many tears I want to die, when I cut them for a stew, tell me what should I do? Onions got those peels, but they give me all the feels. Tell me how, listen, this was just created in 10 seconds. So he did that. That was the first opportunity. What do you think of that?
Well, I like everything else, it's just your mind runs wild. It's, you know, what does that mean to the future of the music industry? Could you probably program that thing not to infringe on any other, you know, song patterns or tune patterns? And And those singers don't even exist. And is that the future of music? By people that don't even exist?
Well, I agree. And what shocked me, though, is how... Two things. How quickly he got it done. That was 10 seconds of work. And all that came together. Yeah, I thought all the same things you did. But also...
Yeah,
how this could be played? Like, you know, that's as good a song as you'll hear on some of these stations. Would you like to hear another version? Here's his other version. So many tears, I wanna die. When I can't force through, tell me what should I do? Onions got those peels. Yeah, it's pretty frightening. But as always, we appreciate Rich Tunes.
Yeah, and he just throws onions in there. You know, there's a story, and again, I it may be a bit loose, but Adam Levine, you know, from Maroon 5, there's a song. Have you ever heard his song Memories? Anyway, as the story goes, there was somebody in the band or a close friend of his who died, and almost like between the guy dying and the funeral, Adam Levine wrote the song Memories, and it became a hit. And I just thought of the onions thing again now, like going forward with AI, there could be any world happening, any nice thing, bad thing or whatever. And you program it and within 10 seconds, you have a song about it.
You know, no, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, it wouldn't matter. Again, we're talking onions here. Obviously, it can be about any subject matter. And again, those songs, so sort of rhythmic. It does sound like anything you would hear on the radio.
No, absolutely. Thanks again, Rich. We appreciate you keeping us up to date on the goings-on of this important news.
Hi, guys.
All right, Freddie.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Okay, this is a bit of a tease. The subject line is Canadian saying. It's a tease because you're going to get into this more. Jim Humphrey says, did the guy say, oh, it's a beauty, eh? And then he signs off, go Leafs, go. And again, that was reference to you not remembering the Canadian greeting the guy gave you.
It was a short one. I wanted to acknowledge that that gentleman had, taken the time to participate in this program. Why don't you read another one then, my friend?
Hi, guys.
Okay, this one, Canada's Healthcare from Randy Wood. Hello, guys. Actually, he says, hello, Howard. He says, I remember you mentioning speaking to an American woman on the golf course, a golf course that was knocking Canada's health care. I just read an article that compares every public health care system in the world, and Canada is second with Switzerland coming in at number one. I have copied and pasted parts of the article pertaining to Canada. Countries with the best public health systems in the world, like Germany, Switzerland, and the UK, among others, are those that prioritize the well-being of their citizens through comprehensive health care policies. It goes on and on and on. And, you know, I think we've often mentioned that Canada's health care systems get slammed, but as a public system and the fact it's free and nobody, you know, is kicked to the curb and dies on the street, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, there's situations, and you know, I know some, like if you have a hip and you want it replaced, mm-hmm. and you don't want to wait, mm-hmm. there are private enterprises in Canada now that you can pay to have that done. But the thing about our system, if you don't, you might have to wait 18 months mm-hmm. if you can't afford to do it. But our system won't let you die, as you say, or kick to the streets, and you mm-hmm. can get life-saving care without losing your home.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, moving
on. Canada ranks right up there, you know, in life expectancy and disease control, overall population health. I mean, we're right up there, so it is what it is, right?
Absolutely, and as I said, moving on, we got a lot to get through today. The subject line, AWE, that's the old guys' travel show. Hilton Head Island from Brad Hopper, he says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Because he's not an animal. He goes on to talk about, he listened to our AWE episode. And by the way, is this the first, this can't be our first AWE email? It might be.
Might be.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we've recently released some more of those episodes. you know, because we're in business. We're in the business. Yes. You know, Freddie, we're in the podcasting business.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
So Bradley says, I was listening to your New Brunswick episode and heard you invite us listeners to throw some ideas your way, which we did. And he says, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, absolutely needs to be highlighted on your show. I have no doubts Howard is quite familiar with this golfing destination. Yes, he is. It's truly more than golf, though. He says, my wife and I started to visit it for a month each year and cannot say enough good things about it. Would be great to hear your thoughts. I've never been there. Have you? Freddie?
No. I've been to Myrtle Beach. I've been to.
Yeah, so have I.
South Carolina.
But I'll tell you what, great hearing your thoughts, Brad Hopper. He says, thanks. And that's Brad Hopper, Fred, from Roslyn, Ontario. And again, we appreciate you listening to AWE, bro.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Subject matter is Dan Schur, the Reverend, is his dad. From Stephanie Collins. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
I don't know if it's just because I'm missing you so much this week, but I got all excited when I thought I saw a picture of Dan Duran in my Google feed. Closer examination revealed that it was Matthew Modine. All right. The resemblance is uncanny, and she provides a picture. This led me to wonder if Dan's mom might have had a torrid affair with Mr. Modine Sr. Has anyone else noticed this? Stephanie says she looks forward to your new episodes this week, which we're doing now. You make me laugh and make me think every time I listen to you. Thank you so much for all you do. Stay strong, Stephanie. A fan from the CFNY days, podcast listener since Voldemort.
Nice.
I don't even know this Modine guy.
Yeah, yeah, you do. Open the picture. Like, it's open the, there's a picture attached to the email. And
okay.
I didn't notice it either, yeah, Stephanie. Yeah. Matthew Modine, who in his younger years, I wouldn't have thought the resemblance was there between him and Dan. But as both Dan and Matthew Modine, and you've seen him in many movies, yes, Fred, yes, as both, yes, of them have grayed, yes, he really does look like Dan.
Yes, he's got the sort of the tall, sort of thinnish sort of head type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the hair.
Great, yeah, head.
Yeah.
The, great the head.
Jawline, yeah. Yeah. Dan Duran, he's a good looking man, eh? He's got that going for him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed, you know, I didn't mention that when Dan was here, but I can tell you between you and I, and you've probably experienced this, but maybe not, because you're usually around Dan when you guys are around people that know both of you.
Yes.
But I got to experience the Dan Duran phenomenon, and I have experienced this before, but I was reminded of what it's like to be around him, mm-hmm, and strangers. Because if you don't, something's just going to sound, if you don't know him, like, we're all used to what he looks like and what he sounds like. But if you're not, he looks, how he looks and how he sounds is very impressive. Mm-hmm. Because the average person isn't around someone that looks like Dan. So I will tell you, that day we were walking down the street in Playa del Carmen on Fifth Avenue, you know, we were looking at people and, you know, we were checking, like, when he referenced, there's a lot of, it's a weird street because there's people coming up from the beach. So you see, you know, men without their shirts on, women with thong bathing suits on. You also see people dressed to go to dinner. So Dan and I were sort of people watching before I got accosted by the angry Jews. But I watched people look at Dan. And when people, you know, women and men, but people, women will walk by Dan and then you can see them take note of him. It's a look that you and I, it's a look that you and I never get.
And being with Dan, you know, there's two ways to look at it. And does it make us look more ghastly than we are comparatively?
Yeah.
Or are they so busy looking at him?
Yes.
They don't even notice how ugly we are.
That's a,
you know what I'm saying?
That's a very, very good point. Because I'll tell you what it is, uh-huh, and I'm not exaggerating this, it's a sort of a subtle second look.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you'll watch somebody walk by, a young woman or an older woman or an older man, and they'll look at, and they'll see, they'll notice Dan, And then they look at him again, like, oh my goodness, that's a very good looking man.
Like a distinguished gentleman. He's sort of got, I often thought with Dan, you know, that look that he has and in a suit, he could, you know, often, like big shots and companies often have that look.
Yeah.
They just sort of have, you know, and I don't give a shit what anybody says. Sometimes these guys are hired based on that image and that look. Dan had that look.
And he wasted the question. He wasted.
He could have been a big CEO of a company, maybe if he'd gone to school or something, right?
If he hadn't. That's right. Dan definitely has big shot CEO energy.
Yeah.
If he had only applied himself. Well, I can tell you, man, it's pretty interesting looking at the people looking at Dan. How many do you have left, by the way?
I just talking about his friend. Oh, I got this Tourette's one.
So you've got one left?
I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I think I have two left. So let me do one, then you do one, and then I'll do the Canadian guy last, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Hi, guys.
Subject Hi line, guys. Bill Hi Brio, guys. Fisting, banging, and pig's knuckles. This is from Jim Claus, who says, Hi, guys. Just listened to the Bill Brio segment, and I have to say, I think those appearances are getting better and better. I can agree. I think we all agree. I like Bill's input, but more importantly, the banter you guys have with him is great stuff. I'll just leave the fist banging to what has already been presented on the show. Yes, I think we've all had a lot of fist banging this week. But I do find it odd that Fred didn't put two and two together as for the reasons of his recent bouts of constipation. Then it goes, you ate a pig's foot. Let that sink in for a moment. A food generally reserved for visits from my 86-year-old German father-in-law that leaves the house smelling of a greasy spoon in backwater USA. Come on, Fred, he says. Surely your list of amazing meals in the DR cannot include this dish. And he goes on, stick to the other great meals you've been enjoying down there. What do you say to that, my friend?
Well, I don't like to wreck your story, but the constipation happened before I even ate, the pork knuckle. And I'm sorry, but it was fantastic. You know, I've just pissed all over his parade, but that's just the truth.
Well, let's get this straight. So you had constipation, and then you had pig's knuckle. So maybe he's got a point. Maybe it didn't help.
Well, it happened after, whatever. I mean, the timeline is reversed there.
Okay.
And it was delicious. What can I say? I found it to be a great meal. But again, you know, we all have those meals, right? Growing up as a kid that other people might love, you may not because of some memory or it was forced upon you or whatever. So I get that end of it.
Jim ends by saying bowel movements okay because of no pig's feet, heart rate tempered. And Jim, we appreciate you sending us a note, as we do everyone. Fred's last one. Here
Hi
we go.
Guys. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Tourette's and John Stewart from Scott Shields. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
I'm a few weeks behind, so apologize if you've spoken about this already. In the episode I just watched, Howard was talking about his friend with Tourette's. Are you sure Lumby doesn't have Tourette's too? All those yees and making noises at making noises at restaurants definitely sounds suspicious. Well, corrections in order here as well. That's not Lumby. That's our buddy Darren, who you hear right
yeah,
now.
That would not be Lumby, but that is quintessential Darren.
That's Darren, and the restaurant you're talking about, often Delise and I dine with, he and his wife, Lori, who's been on the show a few times, and yes, he'll just go into a restaurant and start making noises, and Lori has to give him shit, and then I laugh, and I make a noise, and Delise gets mad at me, and it's a nice way to start a meal, but it's often happened.
It sounds delightful.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to talk, and we played this on the show, did we not? John Stewart remembers his best boy, Dipper, the thing about his dog at the end of his show. His dog died, the three-legged dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was made me cry. It did. And that's when we made the note that we read two stories. One was about a guy dying, and one was about John Stewart's dog dying. And the guy dying had no impact on us, but the dog made us cry.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just the way it is. Sorry. Bowel movements normal. Heat rate, or heart rate, rather, mid-70s. That's from Scott.
Dan Duran is back. Dan, is everything okay there at the renovation?
Yeah, there's all kinds of things to talk about.
Yeah. Here's the reason I know, because I got a voicemail I can't listen to from the contractor.
Right. That was for the extendo work that you had requested. That has to do with that.
Oh.
There are other discussions we will have after we finish the year about
this. See, the thing is, if you weren't there, would we be having these discussions, or are these Dan Duran things? Like, you're putting your nose saying, oh, no, that's not quite...
No, these are discussions that, thank goodness, I'm here.
Okay, good. That I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Having Dan Duran on the scene.
Yeah, there's two other issues we need to discuss.
All right.
Okay.
Well, this show is just about done, everybody, so relax. Dan, I wanted you to come back because you were part of this
beach experience.
Brief encounter.
Yeah.
Just to reset, Dan and I were in Tulum. I wanted Dan to see this vista. One of my favorite sites in Mexico is this particular beach. There's very, very, not a lot of people on it, and this rocky outcropping. And as we were heading back to the car, I was a little bit ahead of Dan, and I saw this guy, and he was very friendly. He said hi to me, and I say hi back. Him and his lady friend were there, and whatever he said to me, I said to him, well, and how's your day going? And then he said something, and I immediately responded with, oh, really? And what part of Canada are you from? And he thought that was great, that just because of what he said to me, I could tell that he was from Canada. He was from Nelson, BC, and his lady was from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. All right. And then I said to Dan, oh, that's, I got to remember that. That was such a Canadian, it's kind of a cute story. I'll tell Fred. And then Dan and I both forgot what the guy said.
Right.
And it became a running bit for Dan and I when he was here. When we'd have a moment where a little downtime, I'd say, okay, what did the guy say? So let's get to this.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
this
guys.
Is from Dave Ryan. Subject line, quintessentially Canadian. And he says, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
He said, did the Canadian gentleman respond to Howard's question with, not too shabby? And the answer is, yes, he did. Yes.
That's it.
Yes,
that's
he it. Did.
That's it.
I wow. said, how's your day going? He goes, not too shabby. And I said, what part of Canada are you from?
Right.
Fuck.
Wow. That puts my mind to rest now. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
I'm so glad that you responded, Dan, because as soon as I read it, I was like, that's got to be it.
That's it, yeah. Not too shabby. That's it, for sure.
Not too shabby is what he said. And how Canadian is that, though?
And we've all said it, haven't we?
Yeah. And do that's you not agree, sure. though? That's not, Americans don't say that.
No, no, no. That's above America. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
they're not that profound.
But that's a very, and you could see, you could tell, now you know why immediately I went, what part of Canada are you from? Because he didn't say it, by the way, like a hoser. He didn't go, well, not too shabby, hey? He just said, not too shabby. So thank you, Dave Ryan. He has a bunch of other stuff in there, but I just wanted to get to that point. He says, loving you guys as always, Dave Ryan. And as always, we appreciate everyone taking some time and helping us out. Before we get to Dan's news, though, Freddie, we've got to get to a few other things, of course.
Yes, let's get to this. Our friends at Bodog. I gave you the odds the other day about the Blue Jays winning the World Series. They're way down the list. And again, you know, those odds will move over the year as, you know, things unfold. Hopefully the Blue Jays move up, not down. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. That's Bodog.
And today, Dan Duran's news is brought to you by Boron One. Find out more about this company that's going to start taking boron out of the ground very soon, hopefully. And that could have an impact on your portfolio should you choose to invest. And of course, if you do, that's up to you. We just appreciate their support. And if you want to support us, you can always check them out at boron1.com. All right, Dan, let's finish off the week with some fun news for the people. Let me get the Dan Duran theme. It sounds something a little like this.
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low.
Huh.
Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes. As for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Zoom Theater is proud to present the Dan Duran News, live from the Humble and Fred headquarters, a very vital part of the Humble and Fred podcast family, quintessentially and essential to the Humble and Fred Podcast Corporation. And now, without further ado and delay, here's movie anchorman Dan Duran.
Giving new meaning to airborne, that came from Howard from yesterday.
Thank you.
Air Canada flight 1879, Air Canada Rouge, was traveling from St. Lucia? Is it St. Lucia, Lucia?
St. Lucia, yes.
St. Lucia.
St. Lucia, yes.
To Pearson on March 6th. It had to be diverted after one passenger went into premature labor. And when the flight attendants realized a woman was in labor, they pulled out the cliche. And I got to say that I'm sure if you're a flight attendant, you probably have always wanted to say, is there a doctor on the plane?
Yeah.
And there happened to be two doctors on the plane. They generously volunteered to come out of vacation mode and assist with, I'm having your baby, passenger. The aircraft did divert to Bermuda, but before it landed, the woman delivered a baby. And you know what? Only about 70 people worldwide have been born midair in a flight.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I read that story.
Yeah,
I read that story, and it involved. Like, I have several fantasies, but I have two that are I'm pretty well known to you. One is if I'm on a plane. And they come over the loudspeaker and they say, is there a pilot on board? But that's a close second, one in 1A. Right. Is there a doctor on board? And when I read the story, I thought, okay, because I think I'm a doctor. And those two guys are actual doctors. I wonder what would be kind of a funny thing. If I was on that flight, I'd be like racing down the aisle trying to get to the baby first. And then the real doctors would come on and go, what are you doing? I go, I don't know, but I've seen some TV shows.
Mm-hmm. What would they put for place of birth?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
Yeah,
I think they still have to work that out. Apparently, if this happens over Canada or the United States, mm-hmm. like in the air above those land masses, mm-hmm. then they would be right. automatically given that citizenship. But over water, international waters, is it going to be Bermuda yeah. because it landed there first? The parents from Canada, is it going to be Canadian? Mm-hmm. Canadian birth? I don't know.
And she went into, you say, premature labor. I wonder how long that went on, like, you know, the actual incident, or was the kid born quickly, or...
Well, it's not that long a flight, so it couldn't have gone on no. that long. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing that could be better...
Landing once I had premature ejaculation.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that could be better in that story for me is if they came on and went, is there a doctor pilot on board? We need someone to land the plane and deliver a baby. Toronto Mike has joined us, but he's not officially joining us yet. Dan, do you have a second story before we wrap this thing up and we start talking
about it? No, let's wrap the thing up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Let's get right to it.
Yeah.
Every Thursday, this gentleman joins us to lend an opinion, lend a thought or two. He's our producer, responsible for so much of what you hear on this program.
Happy Pi Day to you guys.
Yeah, I put that on the Facebook feed. By the way, if you're the producer, would Fred and I be the executive producers?
Like an honorary title, I think. You negotiate.
Yours is an honorary title? Yeah, I'd say.
So Pi Day, is that the 3.141?
Yes.
How many digits can you go?
I can go 3.14. There you go.
Oh. It's got nothing with to do with pie as you eat?
No, it's the third month, the 14th day is 3.14.
Oh, okay. Well, it's funny because aren't they wacky? Then I got CP24 on in front of me, and they just had people on from the Pi Commission.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
That's what those
and
people
so I'm
do.
Thinking, and then I see Pi Day, and I'm thinking, oh, that's what it means. Your favorite pie, you know, lemon meringue.
Yeah, that's whatever. What the wacky regular media does. But on Pi Day, what we do is talk about Prince William getting pegged. Booner, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, just a quick reminder that Matthew Modine was in Oppenheimer.
That's right.
Was he?
Yeah.
And he does look a lot like Dan. Like, I do see the resemblance, without a doubt.
I've had that before. People have said that I look like him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fred and I don't get that. I get Larry David, and Fred got. We're actually. What did Carla say? Fred looks like a hipster Colonel Sanders. So that's our.
I've also got Alfred E. Newman over the years too.
Oh yeah,
which is proud. Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, there you go. And Toronto Mike, your hair has gone completely out of control. What do you get? Because you're a handsome fellow.
I don't know who I get. Colleen Rushholm once said she got a Ted Danson vibe from me, but I think that's way too handsome for me.
Mm.
Oh, I agree.
But I took the compliment, but
yeah,
I don't agree with her.
Well, we're going to be on next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We have an announcement. There will be no Thursday show. We'll talk about that after the... Yeah, we're going to take a couple weeks now and just do 3 days because, you know, we're down here in the sun. We're not going to have too many more weeks here. And we thought we would take a little time. We haven't really taken much time off this last 7 weeks. We've been off for a couple weeks. So we're not going to take any more weeks off, but we are going to take some days off. So all you're going to miss is the email Thursdays. Well, maybe we'll throw a few in on the Wednesday show.
No, I think it's impressive you guys work on your vacation. Like, I think listenership should be, just ecstatic that you're willing to do that.
That's very impressive.
Hey, quick note here, because I know you got to talk about the carpets and all that good stuff. But you guys mentioned, I think Fred asked, is there an audio version of the Bible? And then I thought of a great scene from one of my favorite Simpsons episodes where Homer thinks he's going to die and he goes to bed listening to the Bible on tape as read by Larry King.
Wow. That's great.
So it's a great episode.
Homer.
Fred, speaking of cartoons, did you see that thing I sent you from Family Guy? I sent it to your WhatsApp.
No.
Mike, who's the father on Family Guy? What's his name?
Oh, Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin. It's a scene between Peter Griffin and a cartoon Donald Trump fighting.
I did see it. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They get in a fight.
They get into a fight. And every time Peter gets near... Trump's, or first of all, he punches Trump in the face, and then they cut to a shot of his fist, and it's got orange makeup on. So it's very clever. Also, another TV note, Dan, I started watching The Gentleman, the Guy Ritchie series on Netflix. Very, very good.
I've been enjoying it as well.
Yeah, very good. If you're looking for something to binge.
Yeah.
So, Mike, can we have some guests next week on Tuesday and Wednesday?
Absolutely. So, Tuesday is the, let me get this right, the return of Jeff Lumbee. So, it's his regular spot in the rotation. And then on Wednesday, this will be interesting, I think, because we've talked about him a bit, but a gentleman who bought four of those radio stations that Bell Media sold, John Pohl, he used to be on 1010. He had a show on 1010 called Pole Position. John Pohl is going to come on and answer all of your questions about why would you buy a radio station in 2024?
We worked for John Pohl as well, briefly, didn't we? Didn't we work for him on one of his stations?
Yeah, our the show ran on the Peterborough station. It was a news talk station at the time. Now it's a new rock station, actually, in Peterborough.
Well, that'll be fun to talk to somebody. We'll say, so what were you thinking when you got rid of Humble and Fred? Did you not realize the power?
I worked for John Pohl for one day.
What?
Yeah, they right. bought the station that I was working at. And we, you know, got all welcomed into the new corporation. And the following day, we were all gated.
Wow.
Is that a record? The entire on-air staff.
Is that a record for you? Because we've all been fired, but not ever. usually they wait more than one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll have some pointed questions because, you know, it got a little bristly when we were working with John in Peterborough because he hired a morning show out of the States by satellite, some American morning
show. The Bubba thing.
Yeah, the Bubba. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was it. It was a lousy show, and we had said, boy, you know, I mean, you could have considered us or whatever. But he said the technology wasn't there. And then when he fired Dan, I mean, they had a voice track morning show for a long time, right? Didn't they, Dan?
No, they didn't even do that. For a full year on that station, which is now called Oldies 96.7, I think.
Yes.
They ran just the imaging voice, the voice of the station that you hear, you know, coming up, whatever. They didn't have any announcers. They just did news and some community announcements, and that was it for 1 year.
So you,
and
now to review, though, so we will have this conversation. To review, Dan Duran lasted one day, and this guy thought a guy named Bubba the fucking Love Sponge out of Florida was a better fit for a Peterborough radio station than Humbly and Fredly. Oh, it'll be fun.
And that's the guy Hulk Hogan fucked his wife, right?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. All right, everyone, have a great long Humble and Fred weekend, and we will be back on Monday.
This episode of Humble and Fred was brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Boron One, Bodog, and Lender's Choice Mortgages. For contests and comments, you know what it is. Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Tell us what you think. Tell your friends. Subscribe. You know, maybe share an episode. And rating is fun, too. For Humble and Fred, and from the Humble and Fred insert your name here, Zoom Theater. I'm Dan Duran, where we put Jew and Jew together. And if you don't think pegging is right for you, listen to the Bible on audio and enjoy every goddamn day. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, and just clap your hands, and just clap your hands. Where's that?